Welcome to Season 5 of the Irish Baptist College podcast, Let's Talk. I'm your host, Davey Ellison, and I serve as the Director of Training at the Irish Baptist College. The Irish Baptist College, through theological education, seeks to magnify Christ, advance the gospel, and strengthen the church. And in this series of podcasts, we're talking about all things new. Over the past year, there's been lots of change in the college with lots of new beginnings, and we're going to explore some of those new beginnings in this series of podcasts. The hope is that what you hear will encourage you in your faith, that it might elicit further support for the college, and perhaps even tempt you into studying with us in some way. And to help us with that today is our principal, Edwin Urich. So it's great to have you with us again, Edwin.
Thank you very much.
You must be a pro at this by now. Season 5, you've been... I think you've appeared in 4 out of the 5 seasons.
Okay, 5 out of 5 would be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Good. We're recording near the beginning of the semester. I think we've 3 weeks of teaching finished, just starting the 4th today. So, 2 questions related to that. What's your favourite thing about a new semester? And what's your least favourite thing about a new semester?
Well, I've been in the college now for 16 years. Seems like yesterday when I started, and I say the same every year, that my favourite thing about the year is getting the students back in September. Summer months are a kind of a downtime, gives us an opportunity to get ahead with other material that we need to prepare for the incoming semester, but it's not the same without the students. That's no reflection on the very fine staff team that we have here.
I'll try not to take that personally.
Please don't take it personally. Don't tell anybody else I said that, but getting the students here, that's why we're here. So yeah. The engagement in the corridor, in the cafeteria, but particularly in the classroom, that's the best thing about coming back.
Yeah, such a buzz about the building once the students are back in.
Yeah.
Is there a worst thing about the new semester or most difficult thing about the beginning of a new semester?
I think probably the fact that we are... have built up some kind of immunity during the year to all kinds of bugs and flus and colds, and then it wanes during the summer, and we come back in September, everybody catches the colds.
Yeah.
Usually that kind of stuff. But no, there isn't really a downside. It's just great to be back in September.
You're just making excuses for us if we cough our way through this episode of the podcast.
Yeah.
I do find it a bit jarring coming back into timetable, and it does take me a couple of weeks to adjust to having people about the building again, but it is all good. It's all good. We've had induction week, obviously, before semester began, and with the students back in now. Is there one piece of advice that you've shared with our new students that maybe our listeners might find helpful? So we give our new students lots of advice in induction week, from all different quarters, but there'll be lots of other listeners starting school, starting university, starting a new job maybe, or just a new season into winter work at church.
Yeah.
Any piece of advice for them?
Yes, in the past, what we've done, and we've kept this going over the years, is for the principal to write a welcome letter to all new students who will be starting in semester one.
Mm.
And over the years, I've tweaked and developed that letter a little bit. And sometimes I leave a quotation from a figure from Christian history who will give some kind of inspiration to our students. But this past year, I thought, where better to go than the writing of the Apostle Paul? And so the students this year got 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself a worker approved by God who is able to correctly handle the word of truth. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's no better advice to our students than that, because we're passionate about them going out to be good workers for God in his kingdom. But those who will handle the word of God correctly and be approved by him consequently. And so we're heavily invested here at IBC in the fact that the Bible is at the very core of everything that we do, and we want our students to handle the Bible correctly in the days to come.
Yeah, excellent. The past year has been a year of lots of changes, lots of new things. And one of the most significant things I think that's dominated our agenda has been the search for a new validating partner. So may I just explain that last summer, our existing validation, we were notified that that was going to come to an end. And so we quickly began pursuing a new validating partner. And I think one of the questions that we wrestled with the management committee of the college and ourselves was, why is validation good? why is university accreditation something that is useful?
Yeah.
So that's one of the big new things. We've new validating partner. We'll come on to that in just a moment. But with one coming to an end, why seek a new one? I think that just might be helpful to tease out a bit.
This all dates back to 1976, believe it or not, when there was a major debate on the floor of our church's council. It was then called the Assembly Meetings in May. A debate about whether the college should have its programs validated or accredited by Queen's University in Belfast. Decision was taken then by our churches that we would go for that. And over the years, it has proved a very significant and positive development. Now, we went from Queen's to Lampeter in Wales. That was a fairly short sit. And then to Chester for the past 10 years, as you say, and now to Spurgeon's. So the question that you ask is one that was asked back then in 1976, and I think the answer to it is just as relevant today, and that is that validation of our programs helps us to put our finger on something very important, and that is that what we're doing here in the Irish Baptist College is a serious business. And this is a strapline that we quite often use when we go out in deputation to our churches. What we do here is academically rigorous and vocationally practical. So those two things are held together, hand in hand. And that academic rigor is something that is enhanced, there's no question about that, by our validation with universities. So it means that that all our programs are carefully designed. Mm-hmm. It means that they are scrutinized in terms of their delivery and assessment and all of that, so that we're able to stand over them and say, these are of a very high standard. And when you sit this course or fulfill the obligations of this course and get your award at the end of it, then that degree will qualify you for a number of different things.
Yeah.
Now, if you were to ask me, do our churches individually insist on their pastors having a degree from the Irish Baptist College? The truth is, no, they don't. But I guess that most of them will expect their new pastor, they're about to call somebody, they will expect their new pastor to be someone who has gone through a thorough theological education.
Yeah.
But the degree program programs at IBC qualify people for a range of different things. And I just pick out one example of that. There are people who have done our course here, the ministry preparation course, and then they've gone on to do a postgraduate certificate in education and gone into RE teaching. And we've had a number of examples of that in the past. They wouldn't have been able to do that without that first degree in the theological subject.
For sure, for sure. I think that summarizes nicely some of the discussion we had at management committee level. And so we did pursue validation, and we're now validated by Spurgeon's College in London. So suppose maybe some of our listeners from everything, well, how does that benefit us? Is it better than Chester, worse than Chester, just different? And what are the benefits with being with Spurgeon's College London?
Yeah, I mean, our relationship with Chester for 10 years was mutually very agreeable. We never find ourselves under any pressure with regard to our ethos or our stance on gospel matters. I mean, the Irish Baptist College is a conservative evangelical institution representing our churches. So there's always this tension in the modern world between the academic sphere, the secular academic sphere, and the seminary, as I would call it. So we never had an issue with Chester, and the reason for the ending of the relationship with Chester was nothing to do with us or our standards. It was to do, I think, with numbers and finance across the water at Chester. So Spurgeon's, are there advantages? Yes, I think there are one or two. At one level, it'll be quite similar to what we were doing with Chester in terms of the academic rigor, maybe even a little bit more academic rigor now, having written some policies over the past while and looked at a lot of terms of reference, and trying to get all of this over the line has been an enormously onerous thing, as I think you know, David. But the advantage is that we are now validated by an evangelical Christian college who have received degree awarding powers from what's known as the Office for Students, abbreviated to OFS. So an evangelical Christian college will, in my view, have more of a fund of latent sympathy with another evangelical college.
Yeah.
So on a whole raft of issues, moral, ethical, and so on, we would anticipate that Spurgeon's will fully understand where we're coming from and will be quite happy with our stance on those issues.
Good. Well, I think it's maybe a very niche conversation about the validation of awards, but I think it's good for our listeners just to hear a little bit of that thinking and where we stand now.
Yeah. The only thing I would add to it is that that's at one level, there is that advantage. At another level, it's quite similar to Chester in that it's purely an academic relationship.
Yeah.
So the Irish Baptist College maintains itself as an independent entity. We are the College of our churches, so the controlling body of IBC is not Spurgeon's. The controlling body is the ABCI through our management committee and the Churches Council.
And so even though this has changed in many ways, nothing has changed. It's
I think that's
right. You know, we're operating in the same way. Our next question is not related to this, but it's public knowledge that you intend to retire next summer, which I don't think is related to the workload that we have endured over the last year. Maybe it is. But we know that you're not going to be idle after you retire. We're obviously hoping you'll remain involved in the college with some teaching. But in addition to that, last Churches Council, you were voted as vice president of the association, which is a kind of a two-year thing. You serve 1 year as vice president and then you serve 1 year as president, which follows on from that automatically. What exactly is that? Maybe some of our listeners don't know how this happens, what happens, and what the role then entails. So just, you're currently vice president of the association, you will be president. So what is that role?
And what's feeling my way forward on this, I have to say. I think it's a great honour to be asked to fulfil this role, and it was something that was voted on at Churches Council. So I didn't go seeking it. It was something that came to me, and I'm very grateful for the confidence that the churches have placed in me in this regard. The VP role, I think, is a little bit nondescript, to be fair, and I take it, I hope I'm right in this, or I could be called to account. I take it that my role is really to support the president. And so the work that he's involved in, I am in a supportive role of that. And it means, on the ground, practically, the attendance at more committees maybe than I was on before. I'm not saying that's necessarily a good thing, but it is
what
it is. Goes
with the territory.
Goes with the territory. So next May, God willing, I will become the president after Ian Grant, and then things will ramp up a little bit in terms of commitment to that. The presidential office usually involves going out to visit as many of our churches as possible during the 12-month tenure, and that's an opportunity to say hello to the churches and bring greetings from all of our other churches in the ABCI, to preach God's word, get to know them a little better, and simply encourage them in the Lord. I was thinking recently about that lovely verse in 1 Samuel where it says, Jonathan strengthened David's heart in God. And I think it's that idea that I want to be in that year. I want to be someone who strengthens people in their understanding of God and of His Word. I suppose there's other stuff that could be involved as well. Going out to encourage young pastors, their wives, maybe groups of them getting together. I would anticipate perhaps being involved in that kind of thing. But who knows? It's early days.
Early days, yeah. Well, that's great. Related to that, and there's maybe some people thinking, oh, well, you know, you're planning to retire next summer. Why did you agree to then be president in your first year of retirement? Why are you taking on this additional role instead of just kind of, you know, riding off into the sunset and enjoying retirement, putting your feet up and doing nothing? Why would you begin your retirement by continuing to serve the association?
Yeah, well, there are a couple of things to say to this. First of all, my wife is absolutely convinced that I won't cope well with retirement, and I think that's a great source of fear to her. You may laugh at this, but I downloaded a little book onto my phone from Crossway Publications entitled Retiring Well.
Okay.
It intrigued me. I wondered what advice they might have for me. And it's a great little book full of all kinds of helpful insight. But one of the comments that the writer makes is retirement is not a permanent vacation.
Okay.
Retirement is not a permanent vacation. And so I think that struck a chord with me because while there should be, I think, a change of pace and a change of gear, I do think that the Christian life is a race and the race is not finished yet. So I really want to keep pressing on, as Paul says, to win the prize for which God has called us heavenward in Christ Jesus. So what does that look like? The greater part of my life has been involved here with the Association of Baptist Churches in Ireland. And why would I want to change that at this stage? I would find that very odd to completely step out of everything. And so the presidential year in the providence of God may be a good way to ease me into retirement.
Good. I've not given you this question ahead of time, but as you approach retirement, as you think about the presidential year, is there anything our listeners can be praying for you in that?
Oh, pray for my wife. She's the one who worries about me in retirement. But yes, do pray for us as a couple. Pray for health. We can never assume that. Mm-hmm. And pray that we will be used profitably by God as we go forward after next year.
Yeah.
Well, and pray for Johnny McLaughlin and the staff team here.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Well, we trust that God will use you in that role and that you'll not be a stranger to the college after you retire, which will be good. Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Let's Talk. The Irish Baptist College is committed to training men and women for gospel service here in Ireland and across the globe. If you're interested in preparing for ministry at a college that is academically rigorous and vocationally focused, then I want to invite you to explore the opportunities available to study theology with us, and you can do so by visiting irishbaptistcollege.org. There's also open events planned for January and February, and if you go to the events page on our website, you'll find all the necessary information there. Thanks for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you next time.